This meeting is being recorded.
All right, it's 1 o'clock and we are ready to rock. Hey, Deborah, how's it going?
Hey, good.
All right, we got Richard in the room, so we're going to get started. We actually got our curriculum, so that's the first fun thing that we can look over. We got a lot of stuff to cover today, and we actually have a really, really special program that I actually got to meet up with Luke from Digital this morning, and who was in town from New York, which was kind of funny. We got to go over to a really good LP meeting spot in Berkeley that I'm going to give you guys a little sneak preview of, so that way when you're doing Bay Area meetings, you have like a little secret spot to show people that everyone will think that you're a Bay Area local, and they'll be like, wait a second, you're not from here, but they will think that you are from here. I'm going to mute your mic, Deborah. You can turn back on whenever you need to ask a question. Okay, no worries. So first things first, let's go over curriculum, and then we'll get back to a bunch of other cool stuff to help us get the fun closed. So the main thing we're going to focus on today is a little deeper into the sales funnel. So what we're focusing on today is, after you have an LP meeting, kind of the stuff that doesn't go right, typically around why LPs may do a first meeting but will not convert into a second meeting, which is a pain in the butt. I'm actually in Berkeley, California today. My usual kind of Bay Area rotation is Berkeley 3 days a week, SF 1 day a week, usually Palo Alto or Sandhill Road 1 day a week. Driving down to the peninsula is not exactly fun if you live in the East Bay, but there's a lot of founders, a lot of investment firms down there, not just your typical venture capital. There's actually some really important foundations, endowments, a lot of LP stuff going on down on the peninsula. Okay, and so you probably just got this in your inboxes. This is our curriculum for Mastermind, and Lauren Renz just hopped in. A lot of people just kind of popping in right now. Okay, so the idea of Mastermind, it's way more than just, hey, teach me how to do X, Y, and Z. This is a system. And we're building it out to be something that is actually not human assisted. We're building this out to be something that investment firms can use without, Daniel or I standing kind of at their side. And it's absolutely AI driven. And so we're actually teaching investment firms how to integrate all the AI pieces as they go. And so I'm going to kind of walk you through each piece of this. And if you want to see the document, I'm actually going to give everyone the link so they can just look at the document on their own screen here. So let me just give everyone this link on Zoom chat here. So here's, I'll just chat it to you all. You can share it with your colleagues. So there's the PDF link for you. All right, so now we'll go back to it. So you could just share it around the office if you want to. There we go. Okay, so here is the link. So the goal of the program is really simple. It's to make it essentially, if someone on the team asks, they're like, well, why would you do this kind of program? It's to make it so you don't have to ever hire a placement agent ever again, like period. It doesn't matter if you're a venture capital firm, commercial real estate firm, long short equity fund, hedge fund, whatever. It's to make it so that you can cultivate your own pipeline of limited partners, investors, what have you, by yourself. And how do you do it? You build a really high quality LP pipeline, but without wasting time on investors who aren't deploying capital right now and figuring out and knowing, are they deploying capital or not, before you even talk to them. You don't want to talk to them unless they're deploying capital, or perhaps maybe a 5 minute like getting to know you, but then say, if they're not deploying, cool, we'll meet up with you in a year or two when you are. And then also making sure that all of the email outreach that you're doing is at scale. So if you're doing email outreach yourself, cool, maybe 50, 60 emails a day. But if you're doing scale email, which is 900 to 1500, someone else should be helping with that. Someone whose only job is to do that. And they should be doing it at conventional reply rates, which are 4 to 6%. Also, you should be using AI, and you should be using a lot of it to eliminate all manual tasks and accelerate conversion. There's a platform that we use for it. It's really good. It's called Google Cloud. It's also very inexpensive, and it's very easy to get a developer or someone like that to build on it. We can show you how to do that. And we'll even show you how we write product requirement documents to do that. Because if you're directing your founders to do this stuff, you need to be excellent. You need to be really, really good. And also, how do you close your limited partners? Either close them very fast. That's option one. Option two is to get them the hell out of your sales funnel. So there's only two options here. So there's yes, which is cool. So yes is 10 points out of 10 points. There's also no, which is 9 points out of 10 points. No is still really good. I'm okay with no. And then there's maybe, which is 0 points out of 10 points. So the options again are 10 out of 10 is yes, No is 9 out of 10, and maybe a zero. The firms that you've seen shut down in the last, year or two, they were maybe firms. They also perhaps had some issues with the way they deployed capital and stuff like that. But the main reason those firms shut down, as far as I could tell, it was mainly about capital formation. We can analyze this in Mastermind in terms of, reasons and such, but it was for the most part, I could tell it was capital formation. So in terms of who the program is meant for, it's mainly meant for firms that are having a really hard time hitting their fundraising goals, firms that have essentially tried to do capital formation through referrals and they've realized it's not going fast enough. So I'd say the typical firm that calls us for this program are funds usually numbers 3 through 7 or so, and they're usually firms that had used LP referrals in the past and are now that's drying up. Generally speaking, we like to have firms using HubSpot if they can. Affinity is great too. Salesforce is fine. It's pretty similar to HubSpot, but CRM is kind of mandatory. Timelines we're seeing lately, 18 to 24 months is usually what we're seeing in venture capital, private equity, commercial real estate. We're okay if you're doing SPV type fundraising, that's fine. We do like timelines. So time bound is what we generally see most successful. We have had evergreen firms come in, but usually after they come in, they generally go to a timeline-based raise. The reason for that is because they see the most success with their cohort. If it's timeline-based. We're not going to compel you to do it, but we think you may make a decision on it. And then in terms of the core tech stack, this is what we usually see. Something like HubSpot, Affinity, or Salesforce for the actual CRM. Affinity has some social stuff inside it that's really neat. It can tell you who's the best person within your team to make the outreach, which is really cool. There's something called Village that does that too. Email automation, if you're doing it yourself smartly, it is cool. One of our partners also uses that. And then for AI and automation, we love GCP. There's other cloud stacks that are good too. AWS is fine. The SoftLayer by IBM is real good too. So before we go to the next part where I just walk through the actual curriculum, what questions do we have so far? Because I want to make sure this is pretty interactive. Any questions so far? All right, I'll keep zipping along. Feel free to raise your hand, as we go. Like we're pretty interactive around here. So first 60 days, basically what we're trying to do here is we're trying to master the pipeline and just figure out, well, why do a lot of IR teams just not do well with generating pipeline? And then who are the segments of LPs that we're trying to reach out to? We want to take a multi-layered approach. And the reason why is because some convert real fast, like family offices and high net worth individuals, they can convert real quick. Foundations, endowments, pensions, institutions, funds, that kind of thing. They don't always convert really fast. I'm going to change that number 6 to a 7. I like to think of pensions separately. And then basically structuring your pipeline, how LPs really do commit capital, because they don't work the same way that, like, say a company who's buying, I don't know, software works. If you're wondering why my lips are really chapped, it's because I was skiing this weekend with my kids, and man, it was really sunny. And then the 90-minute rule and the 4-hour rule, explaining to people, well, if you get LPs in the door and they have a great first meeting with you, let's say over Zoom like this, what should we do for that second meeting? And my answer, I want them to come to us. And if that means us flying them into us or us sending them an Uber Black vehicle to bring them to us for lunch, yeah, let's do it. If they don't want to, there's a darn good reason they don't want to. And that means they're probably not ready. And well, that means they're probably not going to move with us for this part of the fund. And that's okay. But it means they're not moving with us. So that's a no. And so that's why we really want to make sure that we're exhausting every possible LP in this radius for that. So then figuring out what high performance emails really look like and going through our entire structure of who should send which email, because we need to focus on our anchors and other people, like other partners of ours, can focus on other stuff. And then going through our advanced sales frameworks and things like that and figuring out, what is an anchor investor? What does that look like? And generally, those folks are going to be cutting us checks for 10 to 33% of the funds. So if we're raising, $200 million, that's going to be a 20 to 40, $45 million check. And then doing anchor email teardowns. What should these anchor emails look like? And how do we do our AI-driven investor outreach? How do we? Because well, we have two choices. We can do physical labor, or we can write agents to do it. And then anchor email selection. Going through more anchor email teardown, and then building magnets that convert these LPs very, very fast, and then scaling the solution. And then it goes through what the next 10 months are going to look like. So that's sort of the whole curriculum there. And so now let's sort of break it down and discuss like individual challenges of, what are we seeing? How are things breaking down and or not within the funnel here? And I'm going to show you just a quick picture of my own funnel so you get an idea of how we track which deals are and which deals are not moving forward. I'm going to show you this. This is a sort of a standard CRM Kanban right here. So you'll notice just from a quick view, if we put this in the Kanban format, you'll notice there's just a handful of deals here that are blue. And this is called deal rotting. So you see the deals on the right are fine, but the deals on the left are blue. And what that means is those are getting soft, or almost like, you buy a banana from the store and the banana gets old. And we know right away that something's wrong with those deals. That means they're getting old. So we need to call them and say, hey, looks like you're the deals that are not moving along at the right timeline for us. They're not moving along at the right speed. So let's say this one was an LP. I would call Connie up and I would say, hey, Connie, how are you? So listen, we had a great first meeting, but unfortunately, your team and my team are going to need to make a decision. And Connie will say, well, what's the decision? And I'll say, well, so we had a good meeting. It looks like the date of the meeting was February 6th. And if your team wants to become limited partners in fund two that we're raising, we do need to meet with your investment committee within the next 2 weeks. So that looks like it's March 7th. And it's okay if you can meet, and it's okay if you can't meet. But if we can't meet, then we'll probably have to say that your team will be, a candidate for fund three, but definitely not for fund two. So we will need to know by the end of the day tomorrow if your team has a strong desire to meet for fund two. And if you can't, that's totally all right. What do you think on a scale of 1 to 10, with 7 not being an option, 10 being a strong yes, and 1 being a strong no? What do you think? Where do you think your team would fall on that? And Connie would answer, and my guess is it'd probably be like a 2 or a 3, and then we just make our decision from there. And so that's how you sort out your yeses and your noes to figure out if someone's a real high velocity partner for your team. And yeah, if they're not moving strongly and quickly towards a yes, then yeah, they're not making that close. And that's how you get real quick. If you don't get strong alignment from their IC, from their investment committee, yeah, they're not coming with you. And so yeah, we need to segment every single class of LPs. And so generally, our approach is to have the firm itself, the investment firm, only work on the anchors. Once we get the anchor, then we can work on the others. But we must secure an anchor, especially to de-risk the round. And then we have partners. Some are excellent, and you can work with them. One of the partners, for example, that we do think you'll work with is probably like Brickle Digital. So let me show you one of their programs here. Looks like someone has a Max has got bringing in his note taker as well. So one of the programs that we will allow you guys to work with, and we'll be sending out something on this very quickly. So I'm going to show you this VC network here. You probably know Brickle as the firm that David Sachs from Kraft Ventures worked with. You may have seen their work on Reddit because Reddit hired them. Let me actually show you just a handful of their customers, because you probably know a lot of their customers. Larry Hippo in New York, Best out here in Oakland, Mozart Data, you've probably heard of them too. So these are some really well-known customers. And so their VC network is wild. So here's what they do. So once you apply for it, so this is specific to venture capital, not all asset classes. And by the way, this does extend to portfolio companies, which is pretty crazy. And so once you apply, it takes just like maybe 6 or 7 minutes to apply. And so there's going to be a page for this for specifically for LP Blueprint in a few weeks. So you apply, and here's what you're allowed to do once you're accepted. So this is for you and your port codes. This is so freaking cool. You're allowed to get free competitive analyses, okay? Free UX and conversion rate optimization audits. Free landing page redesigns. Do not abuse this, okay? Only when they're really needed, okay? Because I'm going to hear about it if someone abuses this. And then a blanket 10% discount on services. This can be worth like $5,000 or $10,000 per year. This is like really, really serious discount. So let me give you guys the link for this. Be sure to tell them that Adam gave this to you. Enjoy this. They're an amazing team. They have an office in New York. They have an office in Miami. I seem to recall they have an office in Austin. Luke is the principal. It's a fairly large team. So have a blast with that. And then let me show you where all of our sales training material is, because this will be especially helpful with your questioning methods of how you do your LP meetings. And I'm going to show you how I make my agendas for LP meetings to make sure that they always either get to a second meeting or they really clearly end in a first meeting. So let me show you where everything is here. So when you go to LP Blueprint, so first, this is how you get to the LP Blueprint portal. Okay, so here is LP Blueprint. And we go over all of this in Mastermind. So if you enroll in Mastermind, you'll learn all of this. So you just go to adametz.com/LPBlueprint. And so this will get you into our portal, which has 70 hours of training. We don't even charge for this. This is free. Yeah. So this is sort of how I encourage you to treat your LPs, okay? So just give away a ridiculous amount of value. So like have something like this for your LPs. If you make something like this for LPs, people will keep coming back. Okay. This is why I have a portal with 70 hours of training for free for GPs and managing directors. Cause like I just want them to see this and be like, whoa, dude, like this is like grad school for GPs and managing directors. Like you just make a portal with tons of cool stuff that people can use all the time. So then once they get in, here, I'll show you what it looks like once you get in. So you log in. All right. So here's everything. So this is LP Blueprint. And so once you get into the main portal, so here's all the info on Mastermind. Here's how to get into our LP GP community. It's about 80% GPs, 20% LPs. And then if you want to get to all the training, you just go to the bottom. And for templates, let me show you where all the templates are because there's a lot of them. So templates are actually in Discord. So here are the templates. And there's some funny jokes and stuff in Discord too, because we're a pretty funny bunch. I was in Tahoe this weekend. I went to Truckee and I went to this bookstore and I saw this and I was like, ha 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 ha. But the LP said they'd call me back right after New Year's. Here's me and my son on the slopes. So basically, anytime anyone needs a template, you just sort of put in a little request in our templates form. And so I'll post them every time I find them. And usually I'll post like the most popular ones. So here's like, you know, different term sheets, a lot of stuff from law firms. And usually people will say, hey, do you have this template when they don't want to call their law firm? So we're trying to prevent people from having to spend money on lawyers. And then I do a lot of budget templates so people know like how much to spend on stuff so they don't under or overspend typically. So here's different budgets for different size of raises for different types of firms. And then people post requests here. So like Candy has posted a request earlier today. I didn't know where this template was right away, but I think I saw it in a recent Brad Feld book. So I posted that comment and then I'll source the template later tonight. And then we do stuff like secondaries and things like that. So if I see good secondaries, I'll post them here. You can obviously post co-invest, deal flow, that kind of stuff. And then advice on, you know, how to do LP events, you know, especially on a low budget. The marketing stuff is here. Women in capital, we want to make sure that, you know,
Hello.
obviously. Hi. Commercial real estate stuff, podcasts, you name it. So this all goes here. And of course, you could direct message anyone in the Discord there. So then getting back to where we were on Notion and sales learning, sales stuff here. Let's go back to where the content was. So all of the training stuff for sales is going to be right down here. So. And by the way, our expert due diligence template for catching fraud is down here. This is very good for finding like stuff that's not just IFRS or non-GAAP accounting, but finding stuff that's been improperly amortized or, you know, just stuff that's sort of like off. Stuff that a newbie CFO or a newbie controller may not catch. And so this is the really good stuff right here. So when you click here, it's about 50 hours of videos and about 20 hours of audio. And it breaks it down to be whether it's GP or principal of an investment firm. It's definitely not all oriented at venture capital. It's just oriented at fundraising for the most part. And this one is really cool. This how to use FOMO fundraising. And it's not just applicable to VC, it's applicable to everyone. And then there's quite a few from my mentor, Ben Narison. He was at NEA. Game Theory Applied to Fundraising. That one was pretty good. And then there's audio versions of all of them, just in case you're like driving. You don't want to look at YouTube while you're driving. This one's also some good stuff for operating partners, because obviously you're going to be advising founders. So there's quite a few that I like that you can also send to your founders. And then for the sales audio stuff, we definitely have a lot of Sandler sales audio, which is just more general sales knowledge. I found that to be very useful. And so to find that stuff, you should just be able to type in Sandler, just see where it says sales training for your founders. So there's the book, Close the Deal, is right here. President's Club is very good. That's just a sort of a sales champions book. There's an entire Paul Castain sales training course. And I thought the Steve Craner stuff, if you do, a lot of SaaS work. His sales training was very good. He's one of the best Sandler trainers I've worked with. So all of this you can just put on, the Box app on your iPhone and just listen to it while you drive or take the train. And these are a few dashboards that I liked, stuff like that. And yeah, you can also just send us emails if you think there's things we need to add or update. Just let us know. Take care of it. So yeah, so let's take some Q&A in terms of deals that are getting stuck or stuff that LPs are doing. Lots of stalls, objections. I've heard it all. So feel free to run it by me, and I can tell you sort of how to bust through some of the common obstacles that you're seeing in the sales process. So yeah, let's hear it. What are you guys seeing out there on the battlefield? Hit me with it. Just feel free to turn on your camera or unmute your microphone and just tell me what you're seeing out there. The whole purpose of office hours is to, air your grievances.
Hey Adam, this is Phoebe. Yeah, thanks so much for kind of sharing all those. I think I really like your notion of kind of paying forward, right? Giving as much as possible. So my question, so this is like probably something down the road I might be thinking about doing, but like pretty interested in knowing like how you think building out that LP network, right? Because the examples that you have shared is like, hey, you already know Connie, you guys have already exchanged email, but how do you get to the kind of the very first, like, do you do cold call? Do you have warm intro? How do you kind of go about it for someone who's kind of brand new in going through
Sure.
that process?
Yeah. So are you currently raising, or are you 2 months away
No,
from
I've been on
raising?
the LP side, but always kind of curious on like how GP started getting
Got
to
it.
in the funnel.
Sure. So you're currently an LP, but you're thinking of becoming a GP? Is that the career move you're
Down the
thinking of
road, I
making?
think. Yeah.
Okay, got it. Got it. And so you're thinking of starting a fund like maybe one or 2 years from now or something like that?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Yeah, got it. So I think the first thing you want to figure out is like, okay, what is my subject matter expertise? What area or where am I thinking of starting a fund, first of all, right? So like, let's say it was cybersecurity or AI or some space, whether it's venture capital or private equity or real estate or whatever your asset class is that you want to, start an investment firm in. Once you figure out subject matter expertise and then, asset class, those two things are nailed. And then, maybe who you want to start the fund with, if you don't want to be like a solo GP. I don't know whether you do or don't. My general kind of push is no. I'm not a huge fan of being a solo GP. I think the game is a lot easier if you have someone to lean on. Just like I think it's easier to be in a band. I mean, I'm someone who's been in a band and I'm someone who's been a solo artist. I think it's a lot easier to be in a band. I think it's like being in a gang versus being a solo criminal. I'd rather be in a gang. I just think it's less stressful, and it's easier to have someone out waiting outside the bank for you with a getaway car, it's less stressed. And so basically, once you figure that out, the next step is like, okay, well, if I need to get LPs to invest, in my investment firm, well, I need to be really smart about what they stay up late at night worrying about. And what LPs worry about is generally one thing, and that's called wealth preservation. So it's not outsized returns. So not like, getting 31% per year for 12 years. No, it's about getting 14%, but very predictably, like clockwork. And just making sure their wealth gets preserved really, 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 really predictably. And so if you can write content that shows these LPs How do we do this, but particularly in our asset class and in our subject matter for just that particular type of LP? So I'll show you an example. There's a guy, Jeff. Let's see if I can information here. He works at Notre Dame and he's been there, I think, for 30 years. And when he started there, they were a really small endowment, like one of the smallest in the Midwest. But he's now been there, I think, for 30 years, and he's really senior. And there's probably like 20 guys and gals like Jeff in the Midwest, and they each hold a position at one of these really big endowments. So basically, if you can show Jeff that, let's say you started a venture capital firm, that your venture capital firm is the very best in aerospace for venture capital in the world for endowments, he's going to be your anchor. But it will take you a bit of content to prove that. So that's what you got to do.
What kind of content that you're thinking about? Is kind of the, your deal sheet, your track record, or also
That's a
probably
good
turns out.
question. Because if it's your first fund, how are you going to have a really big track record, right? Because you may not have a venture track record because you may not have invested. But there's other kinds of track records. So you could have a track record as an angel investor. You could have a track record as a sales executive. You could have a track record as an engineering executive. So when you think of track record, think very broadly. Okay? It's just a track. When I think of track record, I think of executing against a time-bound outcome. Just basically anything that you have done in your career where you have to execute X in Y minutes. Like, can this person accomplish things where they have to achieve a numeric result against a time axis? Because that shows me this person has a bias for action and they can achieve quantifiable results in a time-bound environment. And that's generally like what investing is, sort of, a result of that. Like, even if the person was a sculptor, like, sitting there in an art studio with a hammer and a chisel, like, okay, can they make two sculptures per year for 5 years? Okay, great. They can make 10 sculptures in 5 years. Like, great. But that at least proves something, you know what I mean? Or they had a lemonade stand. Okay, they sold lemonades on the corner. They're like, let's say the GP is 18 years old. Like, wow, she had a lemonade stand though, and she did it for like from the time she was 5 till she was 18. She sold 19,000 cups of lemonade. That's cool. Like, anything, just give me something to work with here.
Yeah, great. Yeah, thanks, Ed. I really appreciate it. Yeah.
Sure, you bet. And then in terms of, by the way, the whole LP research, figuring out who our LP should be, I think you generally have to use a pretty good solution, like something that really does have deployment data. One of the solutions that I like to look at, this is not quite as expensive as something like PitchBook, but I would recommend something on par with Dakota. Dakota's $10,000 a year. So I think generally speaking, you're going to need something that's about $800 a month to get data about your anchor LP. So the general math behind raising a fund of any size, like let's say you're raising a dorm room fund, like an $18 million very small fund, like weekend fund. So if your fund that you're raising is $18 million, just to give you guys the basic math, for all the guys and gals on the call, here's the very basic math of that. I'll call this a dorm room fund. This is the basic math behind raising a dorm room fund. And these are very easy numbers to memorize. So the typical cost of capital across the life of the fund these days, it's between 5.5% and 6.5%. So let's just call it 6. So over the life of the fund, generally that's going to cost a little over $1 million. That's over about 10 years. And then the cost of marketing and investor relations to get this type of fund closed, even for a really small fund, it's going to be about 2.5%. And the number goes down once you cross $50 million. But if you don't have $450,000 in a plastic bag on a table in cash, you will not be able to close that fund. That's what it costs to close an $18 million fund. And then the $100 million fund, that'll be closer to 2 points. That, by the way, that doesn't even include compliance and probably legal compliance will be a point up front. So that'll probably be like somewhere around there. So you just need those two up front. So probably like 650 in cash. So about this much, just ready to go. So then for 100 million, it's probably so it's like 3 points on that. It's not that tough of math. So it's about 3 mil to do 100, something like that. And I have had people ask me, like, well, I don't have $3 million. Can I just get like, an LP to loan it to me? Sure, you can. You're not gonna like the economics, but you could.
What do you mean by cost of capital? Like, is that you pay the placement agent or?
It's a great question. So we can talk about placement agents in a moment. So cost of capital means if you're going to raise $18 million as a general partner, the cost to raise and administer the money over a decade is going to be this amount of money right here over about 11 years. So it will cost you this much money per month for 11 years to run that fund. That does not even include your GP commit. So let's say you have a GP commit of 1%. $180, divide that by 11, or so that divided by that's your GP commit per month. So the cost per month to run the entire fund is going to be that for 11 years. And then you'll have to figure out how to pay yourself too.
I
So
guess,
that's
like,
that.
who, what's included in the cost of capital? Is that like,
Everything, marketing, investor relations, legal compliance, the whole fund.
oh, okay, yeah,
Yep.
yeah,
Yeah.
thanks.
Yeah. So anyway, so getting back to your question about placement agents, because that's a really important question. We do not believe in them. And in fact, everything we do is such that every investment firm we work with will never, ever need to work with a placement agent. We believe that placement agents are lose-lose, meaning it's a loss for the placement agent and it's a loss for the investment firm. So let me explain why we think it's lose-lose. So first, I'm going to type placement agents are lose-lose. So I'm going to write investment firm here. Then I'm going to write placement agent here. So it's very high fee, and then no incentive to work for a firm unless they're very well known. Because think about it, if a placement agent has, let's call it, five, six, seven firms that they're working for, they only want to work for the one who's the highest likelihood of closing. And then the other concern when you're working with a placement agent is they have, unless there's a significant retainer, they have to loan you time and money. And so the other thing for the investment firm is it's very hard for funds one through three to find a placement agent. So essentially, it's the model slants to funds, I would say, three through seven. So it's very difficult for early stage funds. So yeah, we're seeing the model generally slanting towards essentially where placement agents are asking for, so I'm saying post 2020, asking for large upfront retainers or blended, what they call blended model. And so that's why our team, we take 0% upside, all cash. And what we tell people is speak to anyone that's worked with us. So yeah, that's our take on that. Right, let's take some other questions. It looks like we actually have a bunch of people just jumped on the call. I think Max is here, Lauren, Faison, Tay. Any other questions on kind of blockers that you're seeing in the fundraising process? Okay, if nobody has any other questions, what I can do is I can send out a summary of the call too, and you guys will get that in email. And if you have any other questions, feel free to drop us a note, and then we can kind of answer any other Q&A over email. And thanks everyone for jumping on. If you have any other questions about Mastermind 2, feel free to leave a comment on Substack and we can answer them there as well. Thanks for coming to office hours today, and we'll see you here same exact time every week, actually 1 o'clock Pacific time. Thanks again, and we'll see you next Monday. Take care.